2014 was a year of ups and downs for the Valley's largest industry, agriculture. The year began with virtually no rain and snow and fears of another Dust Bowl. And while farmers and ranchers had a tough year throughout the state, most survived and some even thrived. Rising milk prices boosted the bottom line for California dairymen and women, and crops like tomatoes actually set new records statewide. So what will 2015 bring? Here to answer that question, we have in our studio Ryan Jacobson, Executive Director for the Fresno County Farm Bureau. Welcome.
Hey, thanks for having me, Joe.
And on the phone, Tricia Stever-Blattler, the Executive Director of the Tulare County Farm Bureau. Tricia, welcome.
Thank you very much for having me.
Ryan, what is the mood like going into this year compared to what it was like 12 months ago going into 2014?
You know, I've been asked that a couple times, and I always like to kind of, you know, start with that. I think farmers are eternal optimists. I mean, you try to look at the best of things and the hope that, you know, with every winter we have, that the spring brings in renewal, it brings a new time of growth and, you know, preparation for the next season. But I'm going to flat out tell you there's a lot of pessimism in the agriculture industry right now. And, you know, I think it's kind of that death by a thousand cuts. Obviously, the big cut is on the water situation right now. But there's just so many issues that have been compounded over the years, especially the last 5 years, that it's becoming a little more and more difficult to farm in this state.
And Tricia, your thoughts on that?
Well, I think if you take a look back from where we were a year ago, there is some cautious optimism that with the regulatory changes that are coming with a new Groundwater Management Act that took effect on January 1st, we are really having to take a very hard look at how we manage supply, and not just quantity of supply, but the quality of supply of water to our valley residents and our valley farms. I really think this is truly the one and only issue that agriculture really has to get its hands around this year. This is not just a farm-related issue, and this is not just a city or urban-related issue. These new groundwater management bills are really going to impact everyone in this state and everyone that relies on some extraction of groundwater. And so the hard work is about to begin, and that is developing a plan for how to form a groundwater agency between now and summer of 2017. This is not just a conversation that needs to happen between local government. This is a conversation that needs to involve private landowners, because this is going to kick off the next 20 years of groundwater management and planning in this state, and agriculture must be part of that conversation from the very beginning.
Ryan, what are your thoughts on the new water regulations?
Well, it's the compounding effect, and it's not the one single issue. Let's begin with, you know, for the first time in history since the development of all these fantastic water projects we have here in the San Joaquin Valley, Fresno County faced a 0% allocation on its west side and a 0% allocation on the Fryant Division on its east side. And so we had a surface supply that absolutely just dwindled down to nothing this year. And now all of a sudden, within that same time frame, we had these development of this groundwater regulations. And that's where the frustrating part was, is that from a legislator and regulator point of view, they really looked at these as two separate, isolated issues. The one issue is driving the other. The lack of the surface supply is driving some of the groundwater issues we've seen up and down the valley. And it's just been bewildering to see that the isolation that these two issues have when it comes up in the state capitol there.
Now, one of the biggest stories of 2014 was Tulare County passing Fresno County for the title of most productive agriculture county in the nation. Tricia, do you see Tulare County retaining that crown coming into this next year, especially if milk prices drop?
I would expect that we could easily see those numbers flip-flop and reverse back where Fresno may exceed Tulare County in their gross revenue. There's always a lot of positioning and excitement that goes when the rankings are announced. But truly speaking, Fresno has a lot larger acreage mass that normally attributes to those gross revenue numbers being larger in Fresno County than in Tulare County. But it is a sad commentary on the water situation that has plagued our western side of the valley for a number of years. And there were a number of crops that were not planted this last year. There was more acreage on the west side that was idled. And as a result, those numbers were really reflected in the county crop reports that came out for 2013. So although I would love to see Tulare County remain in the number one seat, if milk prices do take a drop, if raisin and grape prices climb again in Fresno, if more acreage is returned to cultivated ground, you know, with some miracle of new development of water supply available to the west side, I suspect that Fresno's numbers will rise again.
Ryan, what do you think about that?
Well, flat out, I'll tell you, Joe, I really don't care what the county statistics are. I just care about the individual farmers, no matter what county they are. And fact of the matter is, I mean, when we look at what's happening in both this county and Tulare County, they have been we've seen very significant major decisions made when it comes to the water side of things. And water is what's driving this economy right now. When you look at the actual global perspective and the ag commodities and their value, it's actually fairly good right now. Obviously, when you're talking so many different crops here in the valley, over 400 different crops, I mean, there's going to be ups and downs for all these crops. But overall speaking, for the most part, most things have been pretty well the last couple of years, and we continue to see that. But it's been the water side of things that's been the limiting factor. So, you know, going into 2015, I don't really care what the rankings come out to be. Is just as, hey, our farmers being able to produce crops and continuing to feed the world.
The other big trend that we've seen locally, and not just this year, the last year and the last few years really, is that the continued growth in nut crops, specifically almonds, throughout the valley. This boom seems to continue on despite the drought. The New York Times even did an article about this recently. They were more focused on the water angle and whether there's enough water to continue to support those crops. Is there a concern, though, that this could be an almond boom or an almond bubble in any way?
I think there certainly is that speculation. And as farmers tend to be very conservative in their mindset, there is certainly some reservation and some concern about some of the conversion of some of our poor quality soils to the supporting of these permanent crops. Orchards are doing very well right now. We know nut crops are experiencing some very good prices. And unfortunately, when we see some of that explosion in that one commodity sector, we know that there could be, lying ahead of us, a bubble that could pop. And there is a lot of, you know, reservation about how we can support some of these new permanent plantings where once rangeland and dryland farming took place. We're now sinking new wells into these grounds to support these permanent orchards and vine crops. There definitely is some speculation and some growing concern amongst, you know, the agricultural community on how much we can support. And I think as we look ahead to how the groundwater sustainability laws are going to focus on monitoring and managing water supply for groundwater levels, one of the tools that probably brings a lot of fear and a lot of uncertainty out of the dark, but also has to be addressed, is the question of how much land can we support under cultivation? How much land in the valley should be farmed? And is there a point where we reach some type of critical mass where we just don't have the water resources to support any more farmland? There's a very unpleasant dialogue out there that's kind of in the shadows still around idling farmland and whether we'll go into voluntary fallowing programs. And with that brings a host of other concerns and uncertainty about how that affects the larger economy. I think so much of our economy here really is stabilized by agriculture and all the related jobs that it brings to the region, that if we do see ourselves having to put some type of constraint on farmland acreage and actually going into some form of fallowing programs, with it comes many other unintended consequences of job loss and tax base loss to our counties. And that has grave consequence in terms of the overall health of the region.
What about the demand side of this? How much longer can this exponential growth continue before prices drop and then we see the sort of up and down thing that we've seen in so many other crops, grapes and things like that? Is this an almond bubble potentially?
You know what? Right now, no. When it comes to just a simple supply issue, the demand's out there. A lot of folks, what you don't think about is obviously when you talk about the nut market, the almond market here in California, it is obviously globally driven. California grows 80% of the world's supply of – actually, I think it's almost 82-83% of the world's supply of almonds now. The real driving or limiting factor when it comes to how many almonds we can sell really boils down to the value of currency, the U.S. currency, in comparison to other parts of the world. The last few years, what we've seen that's really driven this industry is a devalued dollar, which makes it obviously cheaper for these foreign countries to buy our products. Now, when that starts to change, the American dollar starts to strengthen, you know, the consumer obviously has, the foreign consumer has a huge appetite for these almonds. But like all of us there, we make decisions when that price continues to increase. And so what the breaking point is, the magic number is, I'm not sure. But right now, I think that's what most folks, when you're looking at the that particular industry, is looking to see how the dollar continues to go into the future and how that industry continues to change based off of that valuation of the dollar.
If you just joined us on Valley Edition today, our guest is Ryan Jacobson. He's the executive director of the Fresno County Farm Bureau. And on the phone, Tricia Stever-Blattler, the executive director of the Tulare County Farm Bureau. A lot of those almonds are replacing grapes.
That's correct.
Raising grapes, table grapes. You drive throughout the valley, throughout Fresno County and rural areas, and you see vineyards being pulled out and in many cases replaced by almond orchards. The boom and bust cycle in the vineyard industry is something that we've seen time and again. Is this just the latest cycle there, or is there something else going on? And is this part of a larger trend away from what has traditionally been an iconic crop for Fresno County?
Well, there's good and bad with it. Obviously, you're hearing a perspective right now of a grape farmer that doesn't necessarily mind seeing some of these acres of grapes being pulled out, because there is on particularly some varieties there's an oversupply issue that we're dealing with. And so helping to correct that obviously is appreciated. But it's kind of a combination of both, Joe. I think there is we're seeing a demographic change when it comes to the crops of the valley there. And I say that because farmers are trying to move away from those labor-intensive crops. I mean, what quite honestly played a huge role in the development of the valley here and just were, so important to what we did. You know, when you go over to a tree crop, not that human hands aren't important, it's important, but so much of it's mechanized versus a table grape, which is so heavily intensive hand labor that makes it very difficult. And without knowing that we're going to have a reliable labor supply in the future, a lot of these farmers have made the decisions to move away. But then, I think all of us will completely acknowledge it's economics. You start looking at the returns of let's take the last decade, what grapes have produced versus some of these nut crops. There's been quite a difference there. And, I come from a family. I'm fourth generation on both sides of a grape farming family, and we're going to stick with grapes. I mean, that's what we know how to do, and we do it well. And there's still a lot of families out there that do that, but we're continuing to see lots of those historic grape families shift over to newer, higher value crops that, again, hopefully for at least the short to medium term, look like a much more attractive alternative.
There's been some talk about a potential glut of milk that's on the market right now. Valley dairy operators have seen their fortunes go up and down quite dramatically over the past few years with milk prices. What do you feel is the mood out there in the dairy industry right now as we move forward into this new year?
Well, I'm very concerned about this time, and not that I wasn't very concerned about the last down cycle we went through. The last down cycle actually lasted, depends who you talk to, but just say 3 years. It was a horrific. I mean, we lost family dairymen up and down the state like never be seen before in history there. And for those that came through it, I mean, obviously, I think a lot of them came through stronger, and they figured out the way to efficiently as best possible run their dairies. And we did see some good times going back to a late 2013, 2014, the first half or so was good. We're starting to go through that down cycle again. But the reason I'm so concerned about this time is just it comes back to, as much as you try to do to control input cost, the input costs continue to go up in this industry quite substantially. Everything from the feed cost, labor cost, to just everything else you have associated with running these types of animal operations. And so it comes down to duration of time. But right now, 2015, it's sounding like overall is going to be a pretty down year for the industry.
And Tricia, Tulare County is a big dairy area. What are you hearing from your members?
There is concern about there being a lot of milk on the market right now. We've seen some really big highs and we've seen some really big lows in terms of, volatility in the milk pricing formula. And I think in California, the one thing dairy producers have learned to plan for is that volatility. And the dairies that have made wise investments and have diversified their farming businesses, many dairies now not only grow their own feed, but often have other crops, including orchards and maybe other permanent plantings, to help offset some of those revenue spikes and drops. But the larger dairies tend to be a little bit at an advantage in terms of having equity in their business model. And it's some of our smallest dairies that I think are always at the greatest threat to maybe not making it through another downturn cycle. Some of the smaller dairies that are less than 1,000 head, even though across the nation that doesn't sound like a small dairy, here, you know, our average dairies are now 1,500, 1,800, 2,000 cows per facility, and it's those types of dairies that are able to weather these storms and usually come out on the other side of the upturn or the downturn in a better position. So I do worry that some of our smallest dairies are always very vulnerable to these volatile times, and they're the ones that are most likely to unfortunately not survive.
Before we go, I want to ask you about labor. Ryan, what are your thoughts on how the president's recent executive action in regards to deferring the status of some immigrants may actually reduce the pool of ag workers? How big of a concern is that, and what do you see in terms of labor supply, labor shortage? Is that going to be an issue going into 2015 for local growers and farmers?
I think it's yet to be known, Joe. There's kind of a combination of a couple things going on. First off, just a tremendous amount of frustration because of the lack of action by Congress. You know, the last major action we had was back in 1986, and there's been essentially nothing done with this issue until the president's recent decree there. And so there's a lot of interpretation and just kind of waiting to see what's going to take place. That's obviously frustrating for an issue like ours that depends upon people being a part of our industry. And it's no secret that agricultural work is hard, dirty work. You know, a very large percentage of our workforce is foreign-born. And so there's two things that need to occur. Obviously, we're concerned about what about those folks that are working for us now, those that are currently in the industry, how can they continue to stay in the industry and not have to be concerned about whether or not they're authorized to work. I mean, these people are important. But long term, we also, you hear a lot about guest worker program or whatever else you want to call it, but a reliable way for individuals from other countries to come over here safely, to be a part of our industry for a certain amount of time, and then be able to go home safely. It's frustrating that this has been talked about in Congress for just shy of 30 years now. We've seen no action. We're hoping something happens. The president's recent action, the effect can be there's great discussions about whether or not it's going to drain folks away from the agriculture industry that have historically been there the last few years, or whether or not this is we won't see as much of a drain. I think what's going to be one of the larger drains, quite honestly, is just the recovering economy. You know, prior to the crash going back in 07, 08, 09, you know, we had some major ag shortages up and down the valley, up and down the state, particularly here locally. Things probably loosened up here a little bit when the economy tanked, and quite honestly, a lot of folks came back to agriculture that moved over to the construction industry and other types of trades up and down the valley. As we can continue to come out of this great recession, it's probably going to be a good assumption at this point that some of these folks are going to leave agriculture, go back to some of these other type of trade positions there, and I think we're going to be in some of the same position we were in. Again, there's been a lot of mechanization that takes place, but the fact of the matter is the San Joaquin Valley agriculture industry, which is the backbone of our economy, requires a secure, reliable labor force. And whether or not that's going to be there in the future is still a big question mark.
Our guest has been Ryan Jacobson, Executive Director for the Fresno County Farm Bureau, and Tricia Stever-Blattler, Executive Director of the Tulare County Farm Bureau. Best of luck to you in the new year, and thanks for joining us.
Thank you so much for having me on the show again.
Thank you.